The designer Calvin Klein was the master of minimalism, often referred to as the king of clean. Clean defining his unfussy clothes with simple lines. He was the first to understand how to say more with less, wrote Eve McSweeney for Vogue, noting that his clothes offered women practical elegance and cool, understated chic. With an unerring ability to keep his finger on the pulse of fashion, he also channeled his imagination into wildly successful advertising campaigns and a sequence of fantastic scents, creating a multi-billion-dollar empire that included jeans and underwear. And he came to embody the American dream, quote, "He put it in a bottle, he can say it in a photograph, he can do it in real life," continued McSweeney. That's from the opening of Vogue on Calvin Klein, the fashion designer, among so many other aspects to his personality. Vogue on Calvin Klein. It's one of a series of laudatory picture books written with the imprint of one of the world's most famed fashion media companies, Vogue, featuring some of the biggest designer names in fashion today. Calvin Klein, Gianni Versace, and going back in the past as well, because we pick up Coco Chanel and several others. Well, each book's cover features a splash photo of a famed model modeling one of the designer's iconic works, but there is so much more. Open those covers and we're treated to some of the best fashion photography available, featuring, naturally, that designer's work in both color and black and white on heavy, color-drenched paper. This is a treat for the eye as much as an interesting read. As I alluded earlier, the theme of each book is laudatory of its subject. In the case of Vogue on Calvin Klein, noting Calvin Klein's real-life rags-to-riches rise in the fashion industry. He grew up in 1940s Bronx, New York, the son of a hard-working father and a fashion-crazy mother who spent beyond her needs, we're told, all the while as young Calvin was sketching away in beige and black and white while visiting his grandmother in her clothes alteration shop. It started early for Calvin Klein. When there were challenges to Klein's artistry and life along the way, and those are certainly utilized effectively to push the story forward here, well, when challenges arise, Calvin Klein meets them head on and rises even further. An American success story this certainly is. Indeed, Calvin Klein is lauded as the most American of designers, with an eye and an attitude that captured the zeitgeist of the times he and his purchasers lived in, capturing the need for clean, easy living as women moved increasingly into the U.S. workforce, living the wild high life in the 1970s, and settling down by the late 1980s. And keeping that clean, straight cut, easy on the eye look that he pioneered so early in his career, as our book tells us. By the early 90s, once a chic simplicity returned to fashion, promoted by the meteoric rise of the Austrian designer Helmut Lang, Klein was in his element, since he knew how to balance sportwear with simple refinement and a sprinkle of street credibility and edginess. Quote, "If Calvin Klein's CK1 ads or Gianni Versace's Contour ads are any indication," wrote Betts in 1996 under the heading of Neo-Modernist, "the minimal, almost generic look of Neo-Modernist is already migrating through the fashion system." Or as Vogue said, he was one of the first to understand how to say more with less. But this is not all high fashion theorizing and dialogue. This is a look at fashion for the hoi polloi. For along the way in each book's designer story, we're treated to anecdotes that humanize these folks. In the case of Calvin Klein, we learn that his first money-making schemes with his childhood and adult financial advisor friend, when they were selling cups of water and upcharging for New York City newspapers to passersby. His first splash on the fashion scene were with his coats for women, of which American Vogue said at the time, "Wheat knits the thing for day. Spring for the coat dress," they enthused, "and live in it for the first day to the last. Wheat beige knit, cut and buttoned, like a shirt to wear on its own, or be all over your little dresses and pants and skirt," end quote. They highlighted his coat's sporty little hood, drawstring on waist, and cuffs, all unbuttoned to show a flash of knickerbockers. That was early Calvin Klein. And in the mid-1980s, the crash that led him to rehab in Hazelden for drug and alcohol abuse, after which, of course, he springs back and, as our book tells us, becomes an even better designer and an even better family man as well. Klein's interest in learning from those who were older and more wise in the ways of life, like his parents, or in fashion, are covered well in this book. And then he thrusts himself out into the world with one of his best friends as his companion and bon vivant, painting a portrait familiar to those of us who grew up reading the American biography series of men and women who would grow up to be the icons of American politics and culture. Be earnest. Learn from your elders. Take risks with your friends. Kind of describes Calvin Klein in this book just as well. Well, as we move further into the book, Calvin Klein becomes the name in the fashion world during the 1970s, and the tone and the topics of the book shift from an emphasis on biography to an examination of his artistic fashion style, his launch of fashion fragrances, his delight in pushing the boundaries of fashion advertising, and his fashion-turned love-life affair with Kelly Rector, a model, and soon enough to be his wife, about whom Klein is quoted as saying, quote, "What I'm doing now is absolutely about Kelly." It was Kelly Rector, our book's author seems to say, who gave Calvin Klein the alternative view on life that the always driven perfectionist needed to thrive. As our book tells us, quote, "We need newness and excitement in fashion. That's what it's all about." Via Kelly Rector, Klein would channel a pure American classicism. It gave a needed breathing space in his work. His checking into Hazelton had indicated that Klein was burnt out creatively and emotionally, but he trusted Kelly, and she kept him going and also kept track of the new fragrance, Eternity. There were those who complained that the house of Calvin Klein became too preppy, but Kelly's input kept it moving forwards. She was a muse who had worked on the designer's studio, understood his aims, but could also come up with new ideas. Importantly for the label's direction, it was Kelly who had said, quote, "There's something sexy about wearing your boyfriend's underwear," end quote. She was a positive influence on her husband, and he recognized it. Quote, "What I'm doing now is absolutely about Kelly," he told Armstrong in 1994, "about how she works and loves life and leads an active one. She says all the things that are inspirational to me." Klein was a control freak, our book continues, a perfectionist, and Kelly Rector had the confidence to laugh good-naturedly at him or roll her eyes. When being interviewed, the designer admitted that the wrong thing in the wrong place or superfluous details could still drive him nuts. "I like things to be stripped back to their essentials, a kind of purity," he said, and then fixed his eyes on a droopy arrangement of roses and orchids that had just been sent to his wife. Quote, "They're a very kind thought," he offered, "but they're not my idea of how this place should look. I have a thing about wanting my surroundings to be a certain way. I strive for a certain kind of perfection." Was the sort of behavior that only a certain type could take. But the calm under fire Kelly wasn't easily stirred. Quote, "I have my own taste, and it isn't always the same as his," she told her interviewer. "But you know what? It's much better that way." By the late 1990s, Klein had ended his marriage to his muse, Kelly Rector. His new fashion muse was to be the hugely popular American model Kate Moss, who combined with Klein to turn the underwear fashion world upside down. And at the same time, Calvin Klein would launch himself into the world of lower-cost Calvin Klein wear for women and men that would launch yet another very successful fashion trend that continues to this day. Well, the surprises don't stop there. As we learn more about Klein's intentional inclusion of older women into his fashion walks and his ongoing interest in presenting fashion and fragrances that could be shared by men and by women. It ought not surprise any of us that name-dropping outside the well-illuminated world of fashion modeling is the order of the day here. Nancy Reagan makes an appearance as the First Lady and as Calvin Klein's friend. David Geffen, the music mogul, and Citibank both become investors in the Calvin Klein story. And so, too, the sources, most often noted in the text, do come from American Vogue magazine, but there's a sprinkling of others, such as Vanity Fair, that make their appearances too. Calvin Klein, truly one of the American fashion icons of our time, is as deserving as anyone as such a lovely presentation of his work as appears in this book. It's quite a treat, as I said earlier, for the eyes as well as for the mind. The book closes, as it opens, with a peek into the designer's personal world as well as his influence on fashion. And I'd like to close with some of those words, as our author writes. In 2003, Klein & Berry Schwartz sold the company to Philips Van Heusen for a deal worth over $700 million. Others might have enjoyed his fortune gracefully, but Klein blew it all by then having a very public, highly visible, match-interrupting meltdown at a New York Knicks game in Manhattan's Madison Square Garden. However, yet again, the public seemed to view it as the illustrious designer showing his human side. The king of clean was flawed, yet fantastic. Whereas he admitted, quote, "I have a gift. I get an emotional reaction," end quote. It was with this emotional reaction that he continued to produce winning new designs, right until he finally relinquished control of his company. A crisp blue cotton shirt dress, a flecked heather cashmere crew neck, a white trouser suit, a distressed leather jacket, and a loose satin top with a penneled skirt, all produced in the early years of the millennium, each one held to be a perfect example of its kind. As he said, quote, "Fashion is about change. It has to be new. You have to keep pushing it," end quote. It's quite an interesting series if you're interested in fashion or if you're just curious about fashion and some of the great designers who have contributed to it. I hope you'll pick up one of these books. This one, Vogue on Calvin Klein, is available at all of our fine local libraries, including the West Lafayette Public Library.